Yes, sir. What is your name, sir?
My last name is Bob.
What was your last name? I just didn't quite hear you.
Bob.
Moss. Okay, Mr. Moss.
Oh, that's me.
You say Bob?
Yes.
Bob.
Who has him? Do I have him?
I have him.
Okay, Ms. Rittenhouse.
I do.
So we'll be ready to get started, sir. The Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse will be conducting your hearing, sir. So one second, sir.
Mr. Ball, excuse me. Okay.
No one has signed in for him.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Ball, I know you just stated it, but could you please, for the record, state your name and your ADC number?
Darrell Ball, 304794.
Thank you, and good afternoon. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding the one alleged violation listed on your warrant of arrest. You should have been given a form notifying you about this hearing, and I see that you signed your form on September 15th, 2017. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Thank you. And that form listed your hearing rights. One of those rights is that you could hire at your expense a lawyer to represent you. I don't see a lawyer with you. Are you representing yourself today?
Yes.
Thank you. I'd like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting this hearing. And if you see on the screen, all the way down at the far end of the bench is the Honorable David Neal. Next to him is the Honorable Michael Johnson. In the center of the bench is our board chairman, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright. Right next to me is the Honorable Louis Quinones. And my name's Gail Rittenhouse. I'll be the panel chair for your hearing today. I'd also like to introduce Mr. Osborne, who is a community corrections officer. He's representing the Department of Corrections and your parole officer as well. Before we get started, I need to swear you in. Mr. Ball and Mr. Osborne, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
I do, ma'am.
Thank you. This hearing will be conducted in two phases. Phase one is to determine if you violated the conditions of community supervision, and phase two to determine if your supervision should be continued or revoked. Mr. Ball, I'm going to read information from your warrant, and as I read this allegation to you, if you could please respond as to whether it's true or false. If you believe it's false, we'll take testimony from the Department of Corrections, and then we can decide more about the allegation. But the board will make the final determination as to whether or not you violated your conditions. Do you understand what I just explained?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. So we'll now start phase one of your hearing, and this is the one allegation on your warrant. And it says that you have violated the conditions of supervision and have lapsed or probably about to lapse into criminal ways or company as follows. Violation of condition of supervision number one, as demonstrated by your failure to report to your assigned parole officer within one working day after your release on or about June 20th, 2017. Your whereabouts were unknown, and thus you were an absconder from supervision. Mr. Ball, is that true or false?
That's false.
That's false. Okay. We'll ask Mr. Osborne to give us some information. Mr. Osborne.
Yes, ma'am. Allegation number one. On June 19th of 17, the offender was released from AFPC Yuma on TIS status. On April 4th of 17, while at AFPC Yuma, the offender signed conditions of supervision indicating he would report to the assigned PO within one working day of release. On June 20th of 17, the offender failed to report to the assigned PO as directed. The offender's whereabouts are unknown, thus he is an absconder from supervision. Follow-up, on June 20th of 17, the offender contacted TRPO duty office and indicated he only had money to get to Phoenix. The duty officer directed the defendant to report to the parole admin at 801 South 16th Street, Phoenix, Arizona, to check in with parole officer there. The offender failed to report to the 801 building. On June 21st of 17, P.O. Simarusti contacted Church on the Street and verified the offender had not checked in and was not residing there. The offender was released to reside at Church on the Street, located at 1402 South Tyndall, Tucson, Arizona, 85713. On June 23rd of 17, attempted telephone contacts were made with the offender's girlfriend, Dana Woodward, at several numbers listed with no success. The offender is not listed as a patient as local hospitals or at Pima County Jail.
Thank you, Mr. Osborne. So, Mr. Ball, the allegation is that you did not report to your parole officer within one working day after your release on or about June 20th. What's false about that?
Well, what's false about it is the number one criteria says that I would report within 24 hours unless there's extenuating circumstances. And I made a phone call to the TRPO and told him that I didn't have no more money, that I couldn't come down there. And he told me that he would give me a couple of days to try to earn money or get money to come to Tucson. And then when I called him the next day, he told me, he said, well, you're violated. So we want you to go turn yourself into the office there in Phoenix.
All right, let me go back.
So basically what I did was I was too poor to make you come all the way to Tucson. So basically, I was violated because I was too poor, and I decided not to break the law to make it to the destination that they wanted me to make it to.
All right, let's check. Let me check with Mr. Osborne and see, are there any chrono notes about contact, any information you have?
Excuse me.
Yes, ma'am. Now, on June 23rd, 2017, there are notes from a parole supervisor, Don Barrett. It states that approximately 5:50 p.m., offender Ball Darrow contacted PRC by phone and spoke with shift commander, community correction supervisor, Don Barrett. Offender Ball stated he was released from HBC Yuma on 6/19 and they dropped him off in Phoenix. Offender stated that he is unable to report due to not having money or a way to get to Tucson. Offender Ball further stated that planning on working day labor this weekend to get money to catch up to a bus to Tucson. CCS Rhett asked Offender Ball where he was staying, to which the offender stayed on the streets. CCS Rhett asked Offender Ball if he had used any illegal substances or consumed any alcohol. Offender Ball stated no to both questions. CCS Rhett advised him that if he is unable to report to his assigned parole officer on Monday, 6/26, that he is to report to the parole office located at 801 South 16th Street in Phoenix. But also, he was also, on the 20th, he was also told to report to 801 South 16th Street since he was unable to make it to Tucson, and he failed to do that also.
All right, thank you, Mr. Osborne. Based on the apparent fact that Mr. Ball did not appear at his parole office on as directed on the 20th, or it appears on the 26th, as he was also directed, I move to find him delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision and may have lapsed or has lapsed into criminal waste or company.
Second.
Agree.
All right, Mr. Ball, we'll move into phase two of your hearing. And as we do that, in phase two, we'll determine if your supervision should be continued or revoked. Mr. Osborne will give us some additional information to get us started, and we'll be right back with you.
Yes, ma'am. Mr. Ball was released from DOC custody on June 19th of 2017. He was arrested on July 9th of 2017 by the Department of Public Safety on his absconding warrant status, misdemeanor resisting arrest, and criminal trespass. He was returned back to our custody on July 20th of 2016 with 19 absconded days,
with the community supervision end date of January 6th of 2018. Current conviction, 2016, flight from law vehicle, 2 years. In 2015, leave accident, death or injury, 1 year, 6 months. He's had 1 term with DOC as a CIR score of 2-3, a mental health score of 1, and a substance abuse score of 1. There's no STG or gang information noted. He has a minimal disciplinary history with theft noted. Other arrests, 1983, theft. Sorry, 1984, burglary, Tennessee unknown. 1984, theft, Tennessee unknown. 1987, escape first degree, Mississippi felony conviction, state prison. 1987, manslaughter, Mississippi felony conviction, state prison. 1991, theft, Mississippi unknown. 1991, burglary, Texas felony conviction, state prison. 1992, misconduct involving weapons, Texas unknown. 1993, misconduct involving weapons, Kansas, felony conviction, probation. In 2005, aggravated assault, Texas, felony conviction, state prison. He has community risk score of G3, B4, and I have stats, charges attached.
Oh, thank you, sir.
From a senior processor, Stephanie Erickson, dated today's date. She stated he pled guilty on 8/22/17 to a misdemeanor resisting arrest. But the criminal trespass charge was dismissed. He was sentenced to time served.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Osborne. Mm-hmm. All right. Mr. Ball, it looks like you were approved to reside at Church on the Street at 1402 South Tyndall in Tucson when you were released, but you didn't ever show up there, or maybe we have no record that you showed up there. What happened? Where did you go when you got released?
I went to, I don't know if you're familiar with a place called Cass in Phoenix.
Oh, you went to Phoenix, okay, instead of Tucson.
Yes, I went to Phoenix. So I went to Cass. I got into their program at Cass. Got my IDs. I went to the CRRC, which is the Veterans Administration. And I registered with them, and then I went to the program, and I had a job waiting on me, and I couldn't work until I got my Social Security card.
Right.
And in the process, I was arrested and brought back to prison.
Did you contact your parole officer about this, about your change in residence?
I had never made it to my residence. I never made it to the, because I didn't have the money to go. If I had the money to go, I'd open it.
I understood. But did you keep in touch with your parole officer to let...
I called him twice. The second time I called him, he told me that I had been violated and that he wanted me to turn myself in to the parole office.
Okay. And when was the first call that you made to your PO?
The 20th of... June.
So the day that you were... The day after you got out, you called your PO.
Right.
Hold on 1 second. Let me ask Mr. Osborne if there's notes.
That is true, ma'am. And he got out, he did call the PO. And so since he could not make it to Tucson to report to 801 South 16th Street...
Thank you.
...which, if I may, is 3.1 miles away from the parole office.
Oh, from the
in
parole.
Phoenix.
Right. Okay, thank you. And you did tell us that. I apologize. Missed it. All right. Mr. Ball, do you have any sort of problem with drugs at all? I don't see it in your past, but...
No, I don't do drugs at all.
You don't do drugs at all. Okay. All right. All right, and you have minimal discipline. I'm going to see if my fellow board members have any questions for you. No, I see no questions. Yes, Mr. Johnson.
So, first of all, I see that you have some letters that's attached to it. When you were released, what were you released with?
I had a little bit of property, but I mean, it was just personal property.
Did you have money?
No.
Okay, so while you were in Phoenix, sir, why didn't you go to the parole office here in Phoenix, which is not far from the shelter?
I have no excuse.
Okay, thank you, sir.
All right, yes, there's been a confusion which, whether he was supposed to be in Phoenix or Tucson, so, and that's, there's a little mix up there. It's a little confusing on paper. All right. Mr. Ball, we're coming to the conclusion of your hearing, and I'd like to give you the opportunity to make a final statement without repeating something you've already told us. Is there anything else you'd like the board to know?
Yeah, I would like the board to know that, that if you did reinstate my parole, that I have a job waiting, and I have a place to live. I actually was able to obtain my own apartment and had a job. So, I mean, that's all I was waiting on was my Social Security card so I could actually go to work.
And you mentioned the VA. Were you able to secure something through the VA, or?
They're the ones that actually housed me at CAS. They were through the Veterans Administration.
Okay, and you're a veteran?
I had a bed there, yeah.
You're a veteran?
I stayed there, and they had a curfew. They had an 8 o'clock curfew. And I was I stayed with it. So, and until I got arrested and came back, I was doing good.
Okay, all right. Which branch of the service were you in, sir?
I was in the Army.
Army, okay. All right, thank you. And thank you for your service, sir.
Quite welcome.
All right. Well, Mr. Ball, the board is going to enter discussion and make a determination in this case. We don't discuss cases before we come into this room. We don't discuss cases together. But it may sound like the board's talking to you or someone else in the room, but we're really, it's the board discussing the matter with itself. So please remain silent, stay on the phone, and we'll be back with you momentarily. All right, Mr. Ball? Thank you. Fellow board members, we have someone, Mr. Ball has quite a lengthy criminal history and involvement with the criminal justice system, just this one time in Arizona, but many other states, Missouri, Texas, Kansas, Tennessee, so a long criminal history. Seemed to me like he was had his head on straight about getting, you know, getting a place to live and getting identification cards and getting a job and getting all of that together. The one thing he didn't do was to be more persistent about staying in contact with his parole officer and also with following the directions of his parole officer to report to the office. And truly, as Mr. Osborne pointed out, it's like 3 miles away from CAS, 3.5 miles or so to the parole office from CAS. So that was really not an object or a problem. I'm not seeing Mr. Ball as a good candidate. Appears that he had a little bit of resisting arrest and was trespassing at the time of his arrest in July, and had been absconded for 19 days. So I'm not really seeing him as a good candidate for continued community supervision, but I'd be open to the input of my fellow board members.
Agreed.
Okay. All right. I'm going to make a motion then. Based on information provided by the Department of Corrections, based on information in warrant number 2017W2170, based on discussion with Mr. Ball, I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Ball was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and has lapsed or was about to relapse into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agreed.
Mr. Ball, your community supervision has been revoked, and you will be released from the Department of Corrections on or about January 6, 2018. I'd like to encourage you to look at this as a positive. A little bit of time to get your get a program put together for yourself, work with your CO3, and we wish you the very best of luck as you get out. Again, thank you for your service to our country. I'd like to thank you for participating in your hearing today. This hearing is concluded. No further discussion may take place. And if you'd please hand the phone back to your community or your CO3, pardon me. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you.